We are celebrating all the holidays at once this week on Making It.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
No surprise on this song.
I'm making it. I've got the goods.
Yeah, I know the lyrics. Hey, everybody, welcome to season one, episode four of Making It. I am Tamara Berg. I'm joined in the studio by Steve Bottomley.
That's me.
Kelsey Hightower.
Hello.
John Comerford.
Right
here. And you guys, today we have artist, amazing guy, and incredible talent, contestant on Making It, Billy Keel with us.
Look at that, ladies and gentlemen.
Billy has exhibited his work nationally and internationally. He's been featured in the Los Angeles Times, he and his work, Los Angeles Magazine, Vice's Creators Project, sorry about that, KCRW's Design and Architecture, and KCET's Art Abound.
Look at that.
Wow.
And most
art
recently,
or Artbound.
And
God.
Most recently, Making It.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But what a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. For those of you who are watching us on YouTube, we are going to show some of Billy's work here a little bit later. But right now, we're going to get right into our breakdown of the show. So let's get started. We had our Faster Craft, which is a 3-hour Halloween costume, last minute for Simon's costume party.
Yeah. First question right off the bat. Is it really 3 hours?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right. Awesome. In your costume, you had to use 3 of one of the 5 following items: coffee filters, metal scrubby, dish scrubbies, a shower scrubby, a feather duster, and a rope mop. Side note, that was not a loofah.
That was right.
For craft purists, I just want to make sure that that's really clear.
No,
that was
not a
loofah.
It's a what? It's a scrubby?
It was a shower scrubby. A loofah is actually an organic, it's the interior skeletal system of a gourd.
Wow.
Yeah. Most people think it's a sea creature, but it's not. You can grow it in your garden.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
Yeah, anyway.
You can grow a loofah.
Thank you, Webster.
Yeah, quick side note.
I didn't know that much about it.
Exactly.
But I do now.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
And we've been hoping for this because we've been saying all along we want them to see what they can do with all having the same, quote, ingredients or elements to work with. And this must have been fascinating for you because usually you don't get this. You don't know what you got in the box. And then, seriously, what was your first thought, Billy, when you opened the box and you went, what the? What were you thinking?
I was, I was kind of like, oh, man, this is a weird, collection of things,
Yeah. I have to use 3 of these?
Yeah, it was like, how am I going to, a mop, It was it was a challenge, for sure.
So my first thought with the mop, because I did this when I was a kid, was a Raggedy Ann wig.
Oh,
that was my first thought with the mop.
A wig.
Yeah, I was thinking Raggedy Ann, with a meth problem. That's where you could use the steel wool.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not sure what to do with the rest of them because that's as far as I got with it.
Okay.
Hey, this episode.
Well, if you haven't met Tom, how far could you get with
it? Well, for me, that was pretty deep.
Right. Okay.
Tension is starting to show in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
People are starting to break, except for you.
Yeah.
You were stoic.
Yeah. The intrepid.
Smiles all the time.
We all have our own ways of dealing with it, I guess.
Did you sense that? Could you feel tension progressing as the weeks went by? Because, you have to be so creative for so long. And
yeah, well, I think in the episode, Joe talked about it a little bit, and Amber as well, just sort of being away for a while and everything. I mean, this is getting to be it's been there a while, and, it's starting to get to you a little bit.
It was starting to show up in a lot of different ways. Like, Robert was having trouble figuring out what looked more like whipped cream. the non-loofah.
Right.
Or
a mop.
The mop.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, man, it's go with the loofah.
Go with the scrubby, yeah.
So, after week after week, and I've got a question to that later, but it must just be your brain must start to go a little bit like, I don't know what's left or right at this point.
Yeah, I think that's definitely, it's definitely true. I mean, it was a hard challenge, especially when they're giving you, and then, with this show, you really want to connect it to yourself and kind of have a story to tell. Mm-hmm. So that's even that much more sort of thinking you have to do, as soon as you hear about it, about the challenge.
And in addition, I'm guessing on some level you're going, all right, what are the judges going to respond to? Because they've been giving this feedback, and if I don't in some way assimilate that, the chances for going home, increase.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, luckily, like Simon Doonan, like I mean, it's your. It's like great to take advice. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, just like he is just you know, just a genius, and it was like having him come up and have some suggestions was always like kind of a highlight, you know, to be like, what's he gonna come up with next, you know?
So best to take his advice if he offers it.
Yeah, I mean, usually it was it was cool, you know? He was like, wow, I didn't think of that. Like, I'm gonna try that, you know? And I thought Dana was really good at, like, you know, keeping you to, like, all right, this is the challenge. Like, where's your, to make sure you're kind of like, you know, you're hitting your marks kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to slip in one question real quick, too. Do they give you more advice that we don't see on camera? Like, do they talk to you a lot more about that? Because I feel like we get little snippets, and sometimes they don't make sense, or they're like, oh, that wasn't original. And then it goes to somebody else, and you're like, but I don't understand. Like, it was great. So do they talk to you more about your craft, like, outside of what we see?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They would visit, like, you know, it was, I mean, it's basically, like they said, like, it was like, you know, everything we did, just chopped way down, you know, chopped right. to like way down. So, I mean, those like visits they would do with us mm-hmm. in the middle of a project, sometimes those would go on for like a little while. We would have chatting and jokes, and they'd have suggestions and critiques.
And you're going, hey, I got 3 hours. Let's go. Move it along.
You know, it was kind of like that. But I mean, on the other hand, I mean, these are like two of the funniest people ever, you know? So it's not you're going to be like, hey, could you get out of here? I want to finish painting this.
Like, I didn't think Dana and Simon were that funny.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking.
Simon is really funny, is he really? Though. Okay, yeah, he's really funny, too. I mean, mm-hmm. all of them were great. So it's kind of like you're like, you know, kind of still working, you know, while mm-hmm. you're talking to them. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's go down each of the crafts. So we had Robert did the prize-winning blueberry pie with 420 blackbirds baked in. He used pool noodles. I'm not going to break all this down because I don't want to take away our Billy time. But it was called chic and had good use of materials.
Right. I didn't get the chic part.
He talked about how his pie crust was chic.
Okay.
Anybody? Any thoughts?
I mean, the sheet comes in later for me.
Okay. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, funny thing was, as I looked at it, I didn't quite see the pie. When he described it, I knew what he was going for. But when he actually had it on, I went, very easily discerned that it was a pie.
Yeah. And I think part of that had to do with the vantage point. You know, if you're standing right in front of him, what you see is the front of the pie plate crust. You don't see the blueberries and all that
kind of
stuff.
And I often don't see a man standing in
the middle
in a
of
pie.
A pie.
I often don't see that. So that might have been.
Yeah, with me more.
Yeah.
To that end, you also often don't see a woman standing in the middle of a clothes dryer.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
true.
So we did have the sock monster from Joe.
Yeah. I have to say, I love the visual of everybody when the judges come out and they're all lined up.
Oh, and she's down.
And she walked.
So yeah.
She didn't walk.
That was so cute.
She scooted.
Well, she did. She made a move.
That's true.
Usually my washer does that.
Yeah, exactly. My dryer wobbled over.
Yeah, that was.
That dryer's out of balance.
She had a misspell on the side. Did you see it?
No. It was on purpose.
It was where did the go?
Oh, as opposed to where did they go?
Yeah. And again, it's got to be one of those things where it's just like, I just want to get through this.
Ran on time. 3, 2,
the last
one.
Second, I know.
Oh, I didn't have time for the why.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's
why sometimes,
thank for these,
right?
You know, the remote. Sometimes why.
A-E-I-O-U and sometimes why.
Like she should have started with a bigger box. I think that might have been easier for her to make the dryer.
I was impressed she got in it.
I thought that was so clever. Yeah. I love
really
that.
Cute.
Yeah.
Very cute.
No, I think it was great. I thought it was fun. It, you know,
I couldn't see going to a party the whole time.
Yes.
Hors d'oeuvre. No, I'm good. I'm fine.
No, I'm fine. No. Just pop one right in. I'll open my mouth.
She waddles over to the buffet.
I thought it was cool.
Oh, and Amy offered her sock on it, which I thought was really cute.
I'll bet she didn't get it back either. I would have kept it.
Yeah, I know, totally. As a souvenir, sell it on eBay.
Kim. Wait, before you got to say the great sacrifice.
Oh,
the great sacrifice. Excellent.
There were a lot of good ones in there.
Yes, there were. Okay, Kim made a bat head / dog.
Bat to rowdy.
All right.
Bat to rowdy.
No. Saying that you were there, how impressive or not was that? Because, I mean, it looked huge, first of all.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it was mind-blowing. I mean, it was like, you know, it was like, he's either going to win or lose. Like, this is a no. He did not, like, go for a double on this one, right?
No, that's right.
That's how I felt watching it, too. I was like, I feel like all the materials, the actual piece was awesome, like what he used, but the concept, I was just like, I don't understand. It's either going to be like the best or like you said.
I think it wasn't a great sample of his skill. I mean, the creature itself, the dog, what turned out to be a dog, was great. I think that costume was great.
Yeah.
But I thought it really was a feat of his rebranding. Yes. He starts out as a bat. He goes, now it's a dog, and that's amazing.
That, and then it just stuck to that story.
There
and,
you go. It's like,
and then it was his dog.
Yeah.
So it was like, what was that? You know what I mean? Yeah, like,
and then he created a story and a narrative out of the whole thing.
He took everyone's duster, right? I mean, there's no way he did that. Just like borrowing a couple. Yeah.
Was there a PA who had to go to Home Depot and get more dusters?
Like, there was a duster shortage.
Duster and pool table.
I was wondering
but
why
here's the thing. I mean, even his little drawing that we saw, he's standing inside his the bat. Yeah. At the time, facing outwards, but then for some reason decides, no, I'm gonna turn around.
Yeah,
I'm gonna put a heart on my back so I don't see my butt.
That's what I love.
And
it.
Done. I mean, I think that's the creative part. Yeah. It's like, okay, how do I present this? And it's like he's making lemonade out of lemons. That's what I thought.
Were you there at all for his moment of epiphany when he decided to change things? Like, was he sitting in the corner, like staring at it, or did you see that at all?
I didn't. I mean, you know, those ones are very fast. Yeah. You know, like
you
3 hours now sounds that's sweet. You know, it's forever. But I mean, you know, and you know, you got to do some chatting, so it's just on those you're kind of cranking. But I knew he was making something huge covered with feather dusters,
exactly.
And when he climbed in it, I knew it was intense. Whatever it was going to be.
I love that. But the quietest guy on the set put something over his head. You can't even hear him
again.
But thank God for Nick.
I would love to see both of them at a party. Neither one of them can like eat hors d'oeuvres.
No.
There's the guy with the head.
After he wins.
And
after he wins, what does he say? I didn't see this coming.
I think he's like the funniest guy unintentionally.
Right. Oh my God.
You know?
It was great.
Right.
Under the radar.
Totally.
Under the radar.
Then we had Amber, A Pizza My Mind. Dana said, I've seen the pizza 1,000 times on Etsy, but Simon said it was pleasing to look at, and he suggested that she break the rules and not be literal. Thoughts, team?
Yeah, this is what's confusing to me, that, you know, you get these notes from the judges, and I'm sure some of them are extremely helpful, but then you get a note like, okay, this is on trend. Well, this is if it's there 1,000 times, isn't that trend? Isn't that a trend? I mean,
there's
a
fine line between saturation and trend.
No, I agree, but I think it's awfully confusing sometimes. And what's wrong with being chic? I mean, if you did a craft that's chic, why is that a bad thing? I don't get it.
Well,
Steve's going to talk about that later.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
There's a segment, Steve on Chic, coming up.
and they
didn't even, you know, address, look, it's pretty funny. It's pretty witty. You know, piece of my mind.
Right,
and different thought bubbles and
the
stuff.
Show
but
is
it was
all
just.
And it's actually the opposite of literal because it's a piece of my mind. I mean,
piece of my mind.
Yeah, fair point.
So, you know.
Then we had this guy named Billy.
Yes.
Who. Walked through the door with his pizza.
Was
that intended?
That was
hilarious. Loved it.
I wasn't sure. I was like, oh, nice. We spill again.
It was a little like a dog with one of the cones on their head.
Was your homage
it was
to
adorable.
Offerman.
It was adorable. Yeah. Hilarious. So cute. Yeah. And the look on your face was like, what? And you made it through. You were a beefcake.
Yep.
Yeah. Piece of beefcake.
Right.
Not the whole beefcake.
Hey, did that come to you right away, or did you throw out a couple of other ideas, or
my wife calls my son and I like beefcakes, so it's kind of like a joke in the back of my mind.
Nice.
And I think also like I was realizing too, like I think I just had wrestling on my mind for this one because it was like there's a wrestler named Brutus the Barber Beefcake like back in the day, and then I kind of did my 4th of July thing like wrestling. Like I think I had like a sort of mini theme going on there.
Nice.
And I just thought, you know, with the puns.
Yeah,
you got to try and keep it going.
You were right there.
I know.
Well, when you first said you were going to be, you're going to have something on your head and you said meat. I literally
Lady Gaga.
I was going back to last week with the platter. I'm going, is he gonna actually put meat on his head?
I mean,
that's where I went with
maybe.
That. Yeah. Like, is he really? Because also because of Nick.
Yeah.
I thought, oh my God, he's
that would get you Nick points for sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think if I had won the snack adium, then I would have started throwing meat all over myself. Yeah,
everywhere.
But,
absolutely.
Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to go.
Just drape it. Whatever. Nick.
Nick.
I thought it was really, really cool.
Thanks.
It was, and I like the fact that they actually referenced the Bake Off.
Yeah.
That's true.
The Great British Bake Off. That was a funny, funny joke, too. She talked about like beef and rhubarb.
Is he genius or genius? I mean, there's a lot of good stuff. I'm guessing not all of that's written.
No.
No.
I want to say also about the cake, the beefcake. I like the little, I don't know what you call it, the little doily.
Garland.
The mop.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that was a creative way of using the mop.
What was with the scrunchie? How come it fell off?
It fell off,
tell us about that moment.
I mean, I just.
Scandal.
I know. I thought I was really doing well until that fell off. I just didn't have time to sew them on. I pinned them on, and then that one fell off. You know what I mean?
It was just one of those things.
Because it's a scrunchie. Okay. If it was a loof, I would have stayed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I do have a quick question. Generally, how done are you by the time it hits zero?
That's a great question. Is there still a lot of
running around, or are you guys like, oh, nah, all right?
Well, I think you saw with Robert this week, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you're like, you got some time left, and you're like, all right, I'm kind of done. I don't know, you know? Like, what else? I might just mess this up if I keep working on it. And then other times, they're like, put it down. Put it, you know?
Yeah.
Step away from the film.
I don't see a gun.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop the crafting.
Okay.
So Kim won with his dog
How
Rowdy
could he
head.
Not
exactly.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I still think I thought the piece itself was great. I loved all the the feathers and the dog resemblance and everything like that. But I still went, why is he backwards? Why does he have a heart?
Oh God, there was a lot wrong with it.
Like again, there's something about, I have no idea what that is. And even when you explain it, I go, why is the dog eating you? I just that part of me goes, yeah, I don't get that. Where something like beefcake. No, okay,
I get that.
I'm there. If you walked in, I go, hey, it's beefcake.
Right. Nice. Right. Or like, what are you? Okay.
Exactly. So even when you explain it to me, I'm going, I don't get his costume. I still don't get his costume.
I saw 3 hours and this huge thing. Yeah. It looked like a dog and it was a guy in it. I went, yeah, okay. If I saw that in a party, I'd go, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Right.
You'd go, why is that guy getting eaten by that guy?
Yeah, you
why is he backwards? Why does he have a heart on his butt? What is that?
What is happening?
Okay, that's true, too.
Is this real life?
Exactly. Is that Frida Kahlo?
It would take me a direction.
So, have we talked about all of our...
We have not.
What else we got on the...
We had talked about all our contestants, yes. So here ends the Faster Craft.
Okay, because we got to get to other things. But I want to remind everybody that our the network here at AfterBuzz, we produce all kinds of after shows for all your favorite TV shows. We got, what is it, over 100 a week this time? I'm not exactly sure how many we
a
do.
Lot.
But we need your help. We're asking that you go to subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. So go there and subscribe to our channels. And also, when you're doing that, you'll find that we have a whole bunch of other things that you would probably enjoy. All kinds of shows, from dramas to reality TV to competition shows, sci-fi, anything you can imagine, it's there. So go rate, subscribe.
We do it all.
We do it all. And leave us a comment if you do, and a shout out for you. And then we'll make sure that we do the same here as we do our programs.
Indeed. And we thank you all, because we wouldn't be doing this if it weren't for you. Yes. Or we would, but it would be really sad.
Just talking in the mirror.
Okay, let's move on to our Mastercraft. So it was decorating your home, your front porch and your front door as a holiday collection.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's start with Billy doing the 4th of July. Beer
Billy.
Cans, wrestler door.
Yeah.
Extreme patriotism.
Now, again, was that an instant one for you? It's like, 4th of July, that's it. I love this one. Or
I thought it was, for me, it was actually more kind of like, well, I'm from Massachusetts, and on the Cape where we
live. Patriots colors.
Yeah, and like, they're crazy about, I mean, they do this thing, fire bonfires on the beach, tons of fireworks. But I just thought, like, maybe there's some kind of room to do something fun, because it seems like 4th of July, you kind of, like Halloween, I think you see all kinds of stuff, but 4th of July is kind of a certain thing.
Pretty standard.
So I thought maybe I could have some fun kind of working in there, That was my thought, and then I thought wrestling and kind of like that, you know.
And then how much, I don't know if you can say this or not, but like how much of a heads up do they give you about the Mastercraft? Like, do they tell you right then on the spot, or do you kind of have a little bit of a heads up, a warning, or like how
prepared are you? Tell us right on the spot. We have really? To get right after it.
Ah, and then so as soon as they tell you the theme, then it's go.
Yeah, it's go time.
Oh. What about timing on that? So you get 3 hours for the faster one. Do you have a time frame ahead of time? Do they tell you we're going to give you...
Oh, for the bigger one?
For the Mastercraft.
That's about 12.
So do they tell you got 12 hours?
Yeah.
They do.
And is it all in one day? It's 12 straight hours?
I think, you know, depending on the when, you know, some of them, I think they broke up. And some, like, you can kind of see it's like morning, you know what I mean, a little bit.
Got it.
But it was always, I mean, there was a clock. Like, it was, you know, it was on time.
Always ticking.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't the hardest thing the time management?
It was, yeah. That was really hard. And, you know, and then let's say you're working and then the judges come up and they have some tweaks. Now you're down to 8 hours and you're, oh man, you know, and then it kind of, you know, you're like, how, you're recalculating at that point.
Mm-hmm. How do you do the materials list? Because you had a lot of specific things in yours. So is that included in the 12 hours where you go, okay, well, I got to do a Home Depot run or any generic store?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
But we all kind of had our specialty, you know, like it was kind of like,
so you
know,
required like a 2 tons of felt to be on set at all times.
Exactly.
Got it.
And
okay.
And a concrete.
I had my go-to. Yeah. And then other stuff. Yeah, you could ask for. You know, you could ask for it.
Okay. Do they have a whole barn that we don't see that has all these
supplies?
Well, they probably have a ton of runners.
I need a glue gun quick.
I will say that in the season one application process, they ask you what materials do you work with. They ask you like a really specific list when I submitted for the show. I would imagine there was a lot, like there were people just pulling those things aside so that they would be ready for whoever asked for them. Because
I know next time you put Rice Krispie treats and meat.
Yes.
That's right. And nachos. And who's nachos. Got the nachos? Yeah.
That will definitely work.
So the Tapunta, how'd that work out for you?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
How did it taste?
I love that.
Delicious.
That was so great. I mean, I think it added a ton to it.
Oh,
and it was a great suggestion. And it was like a material I work with. Yeah, yeah. I thought that was really cool.
Okay. So did you have to do like a quick web search or go like, what's the hell Tripunto? Is this? Or did he kind of explain it to you? I mean, how quickly did you pick it up?
He explained it, and I had seen the technique before.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I just didn't, I hadn't heard it said that way in a British accent. You know what I mean?
Italian word. Yeah, like, Italian word in a British accent. Yeah.
By a judge who's going to be judging it.
Exactly.
So. And I think it's funny. I don't think they showed it, but it was like, I think I couldn't remember it. And then Nick was like, I think it's Tres Puntos. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, no, that's not. I don't think that's it. You know what I mean? It was like, we kind of were like, all right, what was it? You know?
Well, it was cool. The arms look great.
Yeah, they did. They looked amazing. Yeah. It was very, like a lot of your work, it was very graphic. And I don't mean that in the...
Right.
Recently. In one sense. But like graphically artistic. You know, lots of bright colors, you know, sharp shapes and all that kind of stuff.
Now, I saw the beer cans. What else was on there? Because my whole pet peeve is they don't spend enough time going through every element, and that drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Because you guys spent so much time creating this. I want to see all of it.
Goggles at the top?
Right? It was the boss.
Yeah, I had kind of like
it was a wrestler.
It was kind of, I was a wrestler with kind of like Oakley glasses and kind of like big hair, and then I had some firework applique like on the door, and then for the door itself was an American flag, but with the stars I kind of made it like you know when like a cartoon character gets punched and so I put those, and they had the beer cans, and then actually had wrestling ropes coming out and like turnbuckles.
That's what that was. Yeah. They
didn't spend enough time, and that drives me nuts.
Remote control.
Because I want to hear the whole story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't you the only one who actually like decorated the actual door? I know Amber put candy on hers, but.
I think
and Joe put.
No, that's right. But yours looked more integrated into the door, I think.
Yeah, and Kim also had a thing on his.
Okay, so I'm totally wrong, is what you're saying. Sorry.
I guess yours
struck me as the most like.
Integrated they within something. He painted the whole thing and made it a statement rather than just something on it.
Thanks for trying to save me, John. Okay, let's. I want to move on through these kind of quickly. So we had Amber who did her Valentine's Day notes. She had a typewriter, the hands, the candy box, garland, letters, a mailbox. She wanted it to be very full. I think she succeeded.
She did accomplish it. Yeah, that was very busy. Okay. Sorry.
I did like the typewriter and the letter. I thought that was really original.
That was interesting. I like that. I thought the hands were kind of, you know, I know he...
the typewriter hand specifically, with they painted it red. I'm like, well, there's your Halloween because you've got a severed hand on the typewriter.
Right.
And were you not expecting her kid to come through that door when it was knocking?
And when it was Nick. I kind of thought that too.
Somebody's need a hug. I'm like, oh my God, Nick's going to bring her kid out.
And it's Nick almost 20 minutes crying.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a very special episode of Making It.
Right.
Do you ever cry? Because I think you can win if you cry. and that was a moment of the tension of like going crazy. Yeah. So, but that was very heartfelt and real. And I enjoyed
it. I have to say, I really liked what.
Amy.
Thank you. God, I keep calling her Leslie because I'm so used to seeing her. So, Amy, I like what she had to say about, you know, the fact that she wrote a note to herself, and I thought that, you know, that was cute of her to pick out.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, it was full. It was full.
Okay, Joe, St. Patrick's Day. Leprechaun, shamrocks, balloon, rainbow arch, gold nuggets on the floor. She was exhausted. She had creator's block.
She had difficulty. Were you aware of it in the room, everybody has their own difficulty at some point? So
it definitely was. Yeah, I mean, I think they did a really good job of like sort of showing people's mental state. You know, at that time, it was just, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, you're in this thing and it's a lot of work, and you know, I mean, you think like, oh, I get to be creative all the time, but then we know it's like
exactly
in a competition, demand. It's hard, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think the balloon thing was like sort of hard to manage. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think she was stressed about that
one.
There was a phrase.
Rock, paper, scissors for this. Go.
There was a phrase. I don't see the Joe factor. When you get a note like that, like a Joe factor, something that vague, do you know what they're talking about, or do you just kind of go, okay?
Yeah, cool.
I mean, because when that was said, Joe factor, I didn't know what that meant at all.
Right.
What is a Joe factor? So I'm curious, as a contestant, is it like, oh, I know what you're saying, or do you just kind of...
This is like the fourth episode, right? So, you know, I mean, like we're pretty hyper attuned to what they're telling us and what the feedback is, both in the visits and, you know, obviously when they're judging the stuff. So, yeah, I think, you know, for me, like what that, you know, she has like such a great, like strong design element, and she can use like any, you know, all these different kinds of materials. Mm. So it is, it's just vague enough to be like, I got to be more Joe, but you know what I mean? You kind of have to interpret it your own way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to comment that I think we saw a lot during the Mastercraft that the moms were having a really hard time because they talked about missing their kids and all that stuff. But the dads also, I'm sure, face like being away from home and all that stuff and missing their kids and stuff too. So that's hard.
Oh, yeah.
You have a child, don't you?
You have two.
Two. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't miss him though, right?
Right. No.
Right,
it just seems really hard for the moms, you know, like they talked about that. So
one of the things I want to bring up is glitter again.
Yes.
I'm bringing it up again this week.
Her fallback.
So Dana said the winning part of Joe's
piece loved it. I
was the stones. I have to say, I liked the stones. But the fact that the glitter impressed her, that's
gold.
I'm frustrated by that. I'm frustrated by Dana being impressed by glitter.
It's a shiny thing. She likes the shiny thing.
I'm frustrated as trying to keep a house clean. You are living with glitter for like 10
years. You're not keeping that clean.
But Kelsey, it worked for you. You loved it?
It worked for me, guys. Yeah, okay. It worked for me. I loved it. A thing, too, about that piece was about Joe's work is she was having a really hard time. Mm-hmm. And the leprechaun and the rainbow, like, we've seen something similar to that. Mm-hmm. So I think that it wasn't maybe as standout-ish as, you know, the washing machine or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think that the gold really did pop.
It did pop, and I loved that she tied it to her child. you know, I'm having a hard time getting through this. Yeah. What would my child do? She would glitter it. I was like, yeah, I get it. It's not that I didn't like the piece. It's the fact that Dana is impressed by glitter. No offense. I'm just, I'm like,
But like an amateur like myself is also really impressed with glitter, and that it says something, you know, and I'm not afraid to say that.
I'm a little afraid to say what I just said, so.
But yeah, the glitter is fun. Did you say something?
I can't say that on air.
Also, she said if she was going to go out, she was going to go out with glitter, and that was a fun phrase to say.
It was adorable.
For me, I think the fact that the glitter was the standout says not so much about the glitter as about the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if glitter is your standout, what is it?
It did. What does that say? It did really look kind of like school. Decoration.
Mm. Well, and admittedly, right, she was having a difficult time.
Yeah. No, I mean, one of the judges.
I don't know.
I think one of the judges said that.
Dana said
that. When I watch, I don't hear the dialogue.
Okay, we're moving on, people. Robert did Easter. A goose laid the golden egg out of paper mache, papier mache. It was very chic. He used neutrals with that raspberry red, gold eggs, had the color palette.
You even looked like you had a robin egg blue and a door.
Yes. Yeah. So. Steve, go.
Well, I mean, this is my chic thing. I looked up chic, and it looked to me like that was chic.
Yeah.
And the other thought I had on it, he chose Easter, which Easter is at the end of it's a religious holiday.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a really good representation of a holiday. It was stylish. It was chic. And I'm so confused on, okay, so what's chic and what's over the top?
Yeah.
Because I don't know what he could have added to that to make it more of the Robert factor.
Right.
Well, I thought it was clearly a Robert factor. I mean, that was Robert all
it
over
was it. It was understated, mm-hmm. but I thought it was inviting. I didn't have a problem with that.
I feel like sometimes there's a little bit of inconsistency with the tone of the show or the tone of the judging, because on one hand, they're trying to be very folksy and, you know, embrace things like crafting, which is inherently folksy, and then coming in and saying, you know, it needs to be more edgy, it needs to be more surreal. Mm.
Surreal, yeah, they said that a lot.
How does that feel to someone like you? I mean, you do tend to take, your signature is to take material that we all know from very young childhood and make it into fine art. So, I mean, I guess you have really figured out how to surf both of those waves. But did you ever find any issue with like that kind of trying to figure out the line between art and craft, between edgy and folksy, any of that?
I kind of felt like, for me, it was more about just, you know, what's like the most like, you know, crazy idea I can get past, like I can get on here,
right?
Like it was kind of like, that to me is the artistic sort of part of it. It was like, I've always loved tacos or wrestling and, so it's like, okay, how can I fit my issues or, artistic ideas, into this thing? And so, and then I think the craft obviously is coming from the materials we're using and just the shortness of the time.
Right.
Yeah. You're not able to like, make, you gotta kind of rush with it. So, So, I think that like, it wasn't a consideration of like, how can I make this more crafty? It was more like how, what more can I do? Like, what's a better idea for this?
Elevating and adding to it.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it does go back to, I think we had this discussion before we went up, but maybe not, knowing when it's done.
Right.
Yeah.
And he just felt like, I think it's done. And I looked at it and I went, that is a really nice, subtle. And I think that was a problem. It was subtle.
Right.
Yeah.
Could be. But I also, similar with yours, I wanted to know each element because he clearly had a design there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, well, what is that? Why aren't they showing us what that is in the corner?
Because they left out his mat.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The egg. The mat, yeah.
And I wanted to, and we're talking about curb appeal. And whereas Joe had this leprechaun on the door, that's something I probably would walk by because it is something I've seen in the grocery store or whatever. But his, I wanted to know which every little detail was. And similar to yours, yes. I was like, well, wait, what is that? Why did he put that out there? And those kinds. And then similar with Kim's. Because that one, I seriously, if I saw that on the curb, I go, what is that? Why is that? And I would be drawn forward.
Yeah. Right, right. So let's talk about Kim's. So he did Halloween. He had the tree branch tunnel with that was textured with spray foam. He had a fog machine. There was an infinity mirror or something, I think, on his door that he decorated because he decorated the door. anyway, thoughts, you guys. You were impressed with the texture.
Yeah, John. I thought the texture. First of all, it's a great idea to use expanding foam just as an element, and then to have it work well. I mean, that looked like great bark. I mean, I've just never seen that done. I thought I was very impressed with it. I don't know if you'd ever done that before, but that was great thinking.
I thought the layers were really cool.
Yeah, the texture
was so much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was actually very simple. There wasn't a lot going on, but he was able to make a lot of intensity in. Three layers?
Three or four layers.
And having that focal point in that you weren't sure about and everything, it's like, if I were a kid, I don't care what you're handing out. You're holding on to it, man.
So that's what you put out if you don't want the kids to take the candy.
If you don't want to buy candy.
I like this candy. I don't want anybody to taste
it. Exactly. No, I just don't answer the door.
Yeah, there you go.
I thought it was cool, too. Kind of like I've noticed like he's very into like space and like, you know, the cosmos. And like it felt like a wormhole or a portal or something.
Yes.
And, you know, Nick made a great joke about getting sucked in. It was cool how he kind of took it and kind of made it his own thing, you know.
I thought he was going to get dinged for doing Halloween twice. I honestly thought the judges were going to be upset with that.
Go ahead.
He's good to do Halloween twice. I feel like of all of the contestants, like that feels like his jam.
I think he picked Easter first, and everybody was like, "You're going to scare people. Don't do it." Let's go to Halloween.
That's hilarious.
Was this the one where Simon said, "I like it, and I don't know why"?
Yes.
Yeah, he said that about that.
Okay, well, just that statement there, I went, "That's the judging. I don't know why," and I'm like. How do you
play to that?
How do you play to that?
Yeah.
It is, I mean, in his defense, it's so subjective and so hard, I think. You know what I mean? And people are coming at, like, you know, obviously after a show, I get so many calls and messages, like, of support or of criticism. And it's like, everybody has an opinion, right, on something like that. It's not like you can taste it and say, it tasted bad.
No, you
know?
You can. Yeah. That's just...
The nature of the show.
It's kind of fun, you know.
It is, but that's what gets everybody
talking about. And frustrating on both ends. Yeah, you're like, why? We want to know why it wasn't picked.
Yeah. Okay, guys. So Amber,
never say that was first.
Amber won
because she cried,
and Robert was eliminated. They said he lost his magic from prior challenges. His originality was not showing up, and he said, "If I'm being sent away for being too sophisticated or full of chic."
Yeah.
Full of chic.
Again, because...
Full of chic. God, I can't even remember my name.
His original... I struggle with that because Joe's originality... Where was the originality on that? I've seen her do rainbows. I've seen her... I mean, it's just...
Mm-hmm. I really did not expect that. I was wowed.
Goes exactly back to what Billy said. It's so totally
subjective.
It
is totally subjective. Yeah. But that's the nature of us being viewers. We get to have that part of the conversation, too.
Yeah, that's part of the fun.
So, and I, for me, I wouldn't have picked Amber as the winner either. I thought it was interesting. I just didn't think it didn't really float my boat. I don't know about it.
I honestly did not think that he was going to be going home this week. I thought it was going to be Joe.
Yeah.
Just because of her mastercraft. And and I just was shocked.
Right.
I loved both of his things that he did this week. So I just don't understand that part. But, you know.
And they always talk about finished and sophisticated. I mean, he had a very finished piece. It was, I mean, clearly he was done early. I mean, there wasn't anything.
That was something that I wanted. I was I want that on my door. Like, I would do
that. It was very aspirational.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't do it. Yeah. But, you know, if he could do it for me, that would be great.
That's one of the things you talk about a lot is the show being aspirational, which I think is a really important element.
Yeah. And thankfully, I mean, even to your credit, I mean, I don't know that I could ever do anything close to you, but I kind of go, well, it's felt I might be able to do something like that, but no.
Exactly.
No. And that has been one of the really coolest things about this is just getting messages from kids and families that are now inspired to grab some cardboard and make a taco truck or make a costume. I mean, that's that's why we wanted to do it. You know,
so how long have you been working in felt?
Since probably 8 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what drew you to felt?
I originally have like a sports background. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in sports and stuff. And so I started, and I was renting some space in the Fabric District, and I was walking around and I started thinking like about sports memorabilia, like pennants and like banners and like that kind of stuff. And I thought, man, what if I try doing my own sort of take on this thing, you know? And then from there, after I did that, I was like, oh, well now if I go, now if I stuff it, I can go into another dimension with it, you know? And it just, and then I think the other part about it that was so neat is that there's just so many people have, like you said, these like sort of preconceived, like it's from childhood, like the felt boards and, you know, and different craft projects and the sort of sports memorabilia stuff. It just seemed to like, you know, it just seemed to like open it up for a lot of people. Yeah,
it makes fine art accessible.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, which I think is a great.
For those of you watching on YouTube, Billy brought a bunch of his pieces. Why don't you hold up a couple of those?
Sure. So this is a sports card piece I did. This is felt applique, Sandy Koufax. So this is like sort of like
great pitcher.
The first, it was a pitcher for the Dodgers. So this is like the kind of the first idea I had was like sort of taking. You know, like applique and sort of painting with it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then from there, you know, I kind of did.
Almost looks like quilting.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then from there, I kind of did
Tripunto.
Like. this is where I kind of decided to stuff it. And I was, you know, I'm like being from Massachusetts and stuff, like everybody's got like fish on their wall. So I kind of the pun idea of like a sport fish. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what if I make like a Dodger, you know, like sport fish, like you know?
That's great.
And then from there, actually, the one of the things I did that was in some of those press things is like I did an installation of the Los Angeles River in felt. So, like, so I did like stuff like this tilapia fish. Mm-hmm. And like everything that they have in the river, cans, and they actually like you know do a tally of what they pull out of the river and they clean it up. So I use that to like make this whole long thing. Of the
how
river.
Big was that piece? The whole installation?
It was like 20 feet by 4 feet.
Wow! You had a big catch. That big catch fish I've been seeing on the internet. Yes. How big was that?
Oh, that guy that was like that was like a 12-foot fish, I think, or maybe.
How
15,
long did that take you to create?
Well, that was very similar to quilt. Because, like, if you think about it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like that's not that big a quilt, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it kind of was like once I had two sides, it wasn't like that big, but it was kind of fun, you know, that it was like so big that I could take it down to the lake and like pretend I caught it.
that was fun to see,
It's 12 feet, 2 pounds,
and then you also have your pill, series here,
I did, there's an event downtown called We Rise, and I did like a pile of pills. It was probably like about 3.5 feet tall by about 5 feet, and then so it's all these like sort of like stuffed little pills. And then
what's it say?
Klonopin.
Klonopin
and Prozac.
There's a Prozac right there. And I did a pile, and then I had some little legs like sticking out, like as though someone had been buried by the pills.
I want to see hold up the fire one.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and this was another one I did for the same group. I did like Molotov cocktails. So I did like, and there was like a juice box, Tapatio. It was almost like
Tapatio.
I love the heads on that. And then you got the beer.
Yeah, and then I have a beer one. So I like, I actually did these like I was kind of inspired by like the Women's March, you know, and like sort of like all that energy. So I did like a whole cloud of these, almost like they had all, you know, like everybody in the neighborhood had just thrown Molotov cocktails, but they're harmless.
they're felt cocktails.
No violence.
And you sell these, right?
Yeah.
You have pieces that you sell, and your website is bkheel.com, bkheel.com.
That's correct.
That's also your Instagram and your Twitter, something else. It has something else on it.
It's bkheel1, I think.
Okay, so tell us some stuff. What about the show didn't we see that was like super juicy, interesting.
That
you can reveal.
Super juicy, interesting. Wow, that's tough. I'm trying to think.
Was there anything that where you walked in and went, "Oh my god, I was so not prepared for that"? Are you a guy who's just ready at all?
No. Well, the Halloween one, you know, for sure. Yeah. Like, I mean, because I think there have been other shows that use that format where they're like, "Here's a box of stuff, go crazy." And so, you know, we hadn't really been working that way, and we still had our kind of like go-to stuff that we could use. But yeah, that was one where it was like, "Well, what this is going to be hard." Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see what happens here. But juicy, I'm trying to think. I'll have to think about that one.
Got to put you on the spot.
How has the being on the show changed you as an artist? Has it opened up new pathways for you? Have you thought differently or thought creatively differently or anything like that?
I think it's warped my concept of time. The amount of stuff you can get done in a 3 or a 12-hour period, you know, you kind of think to yourself after you get done with one of these things, like, what have I been doing with my, you know what I mean? Yeah. I was really a slacker
when you're
before.
Forced to do something.
Yeah,
right.
Like, when you really have to. And also just the idea, like, I think, like, for the holiday one with Kiem's, or like with mine with the muscles or whatever, it's kind of like, you know, the idea of just like going, you know, going big, you know what I mean? Like, whatever your little sketch is that you start with, go crazy, you know, make it even crazier and then see if you can do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that was
really
a lot of fun.
It stretches you then.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of like, okay, I could, you know, I could do sort of what you'd see and make that, or what if I just go nuts, you know? What's going to happen, you know?
That's great.
How does your creative confidence change over the course of the competition? I mean, I'm guessing in the beginning, it's going to be different from...
Sure, yeah.
In which way does that go?
Well, like, I felt like for the pig one I did, where that was like really hard, you know. That was like I didn't know what the criteria really was. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you do further on in the show, or how the judges are going to react.
Right.
I was very nervous about that. You know, I was stressed about the time. You know, it was the whole it was the very new experience. But then I think as you go, you kind of, you know, you get in the groove a little bit, you know, you kind of get a little bit of the feeling, and you know, the challenges are fun. Like, yeah. They did come up with cool, fun challenges.
We
you
talked
know?
About that. They,
right?
They, yeah, we think they're great.
And did you have a favorite out of what we've seen so far? Like, we've seen the Boz, Putt-Putt, this week's
Taco Truck.
Do you have a favorite that you were just like, yes, I'm stoked to do this, or was it different every time?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, for me, like, I would say, like, you know, I was really hoping I could get the Boz on there.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? Yeah.
That was one where I was like, you know.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, all right.
Why not?
And then the taco truck is another one. You know, I was just kind of doing it like, can I get, you know, let me do this on TV? You know? And so, you know, like, I would say, like, definitely the larger craft challenges have been, like, the most rewarding for me, you know, having a little bit more time to, like, get them done. Probably the taco truck is probably the one that, you know.
Any besides yours that you were really impressed with?
That we've seen already.
You know, I would take it to Amber's real quick, just the Valentine's Day one, because I think that it was real. When you talk about the craft to art, you know, kind of thing, I kind of feel like she's such a great crafter and, you know, very charismatic. And I do think using those weird hands and coloring them and just making this weird thing was kind of outside her comfort zone, you know? And that, like, really impressed me that she was willing to, you know, not just do, like, what you would think would be the Valentine's Day door. You know what I mean?
Okay, gang, we need to do quick news. We have, like, 5 seconds left, but there's a little bit of news that I have to get into.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Makers get political as retailer Joanne calls for crafters to oppose the Trump tariffs. This is from Bloomberg. Joanne, the crafting and supply store, has warned shoppers that proposed levies on imported products from China will hit their bottom lines. So they have been asking crafters and makers to sign a petition against the...
crafters get political.
Exactly. They're talking about the tariffs hitting things like cookie cutters, candle holders, and yarn. And the CEO is going to be testifying in the next couple of days about that.
Away from glitter.
Exactly. Take your hands off my glitter. And then the big news, Making It has been renewed for a second season! We're so excited. According to The Hollywood Reporter, it has averaged 1.4 ratings amongst the desired demographic and 6.3 million total viewers, including the delayed watchers. So it's clearly a success.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we're all very happy about that.
Maybe you will have a certain guest judge coming back.
Guest judge indeed.
That would be cool. That would be cool. Some contestants from this season coming in as guest judges.
Yeah. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Billy, what's happening with you next?
I'm doing go to my website. I'm doing a group show of, like, fiber art at the end of September.
Oh, nice.
And then I think I'm going to do an installation at Complex Con in November.
Great.
Those are the first two things coming up now. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being
Thank
with
you.
Us.
Yeah, this
has
been
amazing.
Thanks.
This has been great.
Steve, where can people find you?
Napping in the lounge.
Okay. Kelsey?
You can find me on the interwebs at Kels Hightower.
Sure. You can find me at Incognito.
Yes.
Oh, nice, John.
I'm on Twitter at Tamara Berg, and my website is TamaraCentral.com. See you guys next
week.
Bye, Billy.
Thanks, Billy.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, William.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.